Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome once again to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joining me today is Jamie Jors, our moderator. And we are talking about a Packers upcoming game against the Minnesota Vikings this Sunday on the road at the Metrodome in Minneapolis. Our Vikings primer episode, joined by John Rahor as well of CheeseheadTV.com. And the Packers, you know, 6-0. How long can this streak continue? I personally think it's going to continue at least one more game against the Minnesota Vikings, the moribund Minnesota Vikings. One win on the season. They just are in shambles right now. I guess that's the only way I can describe it. Jamie Jors says, I got it going until at least Thanksgiving. Then she says, 19-0. Could it be the Packers become the first team in NFL history to go 16-0 and win a Super Bowl? Never been done before. Good morning to Odds Go Pack Go. We got everybody checking in on our live blog today. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, your comments will show up on our live blog, or just feel free to comment away. If you scroll up to the top of the live blog, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links, and we'll get to some of the top stories today. And all the top stories are about being a little short in the pocketbook, or a little bit lighter in the pocketbook, if you will. The story actually hit after I had published this morning's Packers Daily Links, but one of the big stories this morning, linebacker A.J. Hawk, his fine was finally levied by the NFL to the tune of $10,000 for giving the one-finger salute, for flipping the bird. Are there any more terms for that gesture, that obscene gesture he gave this past weekend against the Rams? That's the word from Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, who reports that A.J. Hawk is now $10,000 lighter in the wallet after being fined by the NFL. And finally, this will probably be the least we hear of this for a while. As I said before, A.J. Hawk is a respected member of the Green Bay Packers. He wasn't doing this to a defender. He wasn't doing this to any fans. For whatever reason, it was kind of an inside joke among teammates. And, you know, I think this is going to blow over. You know, it's going to be a story today, obviously, because he was fine. But after that, he's... I think this is going to blow over, and this will be the last that we hear of it for a little while. But and as Kurt Kozad points out on our live blog, Matthews and Williams fined for gold cleats. That's our top story in today's Packers Daily Links. So yeah, in addition to A.J. Hawk being fined by the NFL, we've got linebacker Clay Matthews and cornerback Tremont Williams also being fined, not quite $10,000. Theirs was half of that, only $5,000, for wearing the wrong color shoe against the St. Louis Rams when they wore their throwback jerseys a week ago. Apparently, as the story goes, the Packers, you know, they wear their throwbacks, which are kind of navy blue and kind of a brown helmet and brownish colored pants. And they're supposed to wear brown shoes that go along with it. And here's the word from Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, quote, Matthews, however, wore bright yellow shoes, which the NFL deemed as inappropriate and a violation of the league's dress code. In an interview with Josh Sitton, Matthews read out loud the letter he received from the NFL. Josh Sitton was conducting an interview for the Jim Rome show on ESPN, Rome is Burning. But that's beside the point. Matthews fined $5,000. So is Tremont Williams for yellow shoes. So all sorts of Packers receiving fines from the NFL today. So interesting how this happens. On our live blog, Kurt Kozad pointing out Brian Wilson from the San Francisco Giants got fined for his bright orange cleats as well. It is kind of interesting if we compare and contrast baseball and football a little bit. And, I can kind of see that in a way in baseball. You're facing a pitcher who's kind of wearing a distracting color of shoe. When you're a hitter, you kind of want to focus on the baseball, and all of a sudden you've got these bright orange shoes flashing that maybe could distract you. In football, I'm not really sure that's an issue, but it is what it is. I mean, the NFL has the final say. They can Clay Matthews can feel free to break the rule as long as he's okay with paying $5,000 every time he does it. So, it's, I don't know. I disagree with it. It's, they're shoes. I mean, who cares, really? It's, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm at a loss. I mean, I can't really defend this. I mean, the NFL can defend it, I'm sure. They citing maybe continuity among the whole team, I suppose. That would be their argument. But yeah, so a lot of fines being handed down to Packers players today. At least none for dirty hits or illegal hits or whatever. Those are the kinds we want to avoid. These ones are less concerning to me, but interesting the amount of them all of a sudden in one day that just got handed down. Three Packers, little lighter in the pocketbook today. Anyhow, getting to Packers news on the field. Another article from Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, if you go take a look again at the Packers Data Links, second article down today, finding out that the Packers defense, and we know that they've given up a lot of yards this year, although it's not really mattered with their perfect 6-0 record, finding out that they've been pretty darn good in the second half of games this year. Maybe not so much in the first game of the year against the New Orleans Saints, or even against Cam Newton against the Carolina Panthers. But after that, they've been really good in the second half of football games in the third and fourth quarters. So good, in fact, that Tom Silverstein writes, quote, against the last four opponents, the defense has allowed a total of 13 second half points. Yards allowed have also shrunk from an average of 192 in the first half to 145.5 in the second, end quote. So there you go. Past four games, an average, or not an average, 13 total second half points in the last four games. So what is that? That's an average of just over a field goal they're giving up in the second half of the last four games. Just over a field goal. Pretty darn good. And the yards they're giving up, 145.5, that would seem to be, not number one in the NFL by any means, but, a respectable number to give up to an opponent in one half. So there you go. The Packers defense, we give them all this grief for giving up yards by the bushel. You know, giving up 400 total yards at a time has been nothing. And giving up, you know, 300-yard passing games to opposing quarterbacks has been commonplace. But really, you know, in the second half, and I suppose better in the second half than the first, although they, you know, really count almost equal. But, I mean, if you had your choice, I suppose you'd choose that, you know, they'd be better in the second half. And they're doing well. Comment from Drew D2 on the live blog. The stats make sense. In the first half of games, the Packers' offense is racking up points. In the second half of games, the Packer offense is running the ball more and making more of the short possession holding passes. The defensive stats may say more about the offense than the defense. Good point. I might counter with that other teams have to play catch up, though, and have to pass the ball a lot, which leads to, if they can do it well, can lead to big yards. You know, and not to say that teams haven't had any success, but the Packers have obviously here done a good job in the second half of football games. You know, I think it all works together. You know, the good job the Packers are doing, what the Packers are doing on offense, trying to run out the clock with a little more running game, and the, you know, the effectiveness of the opponent as well. You know, I think it all goes hand in hand. So, you know, there you go. I see some comments here about Clay Matthews on the live blog and doing some calf roping. Interesting. Of course, the Packers facing opposing rookie quarterback Christian Ponder this weekend is the big storyline, you know, of this game. Christian Ponder making his first NFL start, first round draft choice. You know, a lot of Vikings fans, I remember back during the draft, being unhappy about the Christian Ponder pick, thinking the Vikings took him way too early in the draft, wasn't worthy of where he was selected, somewhere mid-first round, if I remember. Don't remember the exact pick he was. But, yeah, so here we go. The Christian Ponder era is starting. And if I remember correctly, I think I read a quote from Leslie Frazier saying, this isn't just for a game. This is for the rest of the year. And so, you know, it appears as if the Donovan McNabb era is really over in Minnesota. You know, obviously he's still part of the team and he's the backup quarterback, but as far as starting goes, Donovan McNabb out, Christian Ponder in, and the Packers facing a rookie quarterback. Somewhere in the Packers Daily Links, some pretty good articles today on facing Christian Ponder, or just one perhaps by Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com, talking about the, you know, perceived need to blitz a rookie quarterback. You know, a lot of times that's maybe the commonly held conception that you blitz a rookie quarterback because they're inexperienced and they're prone to mistakes, etc., etc. And Jason Wilde pointing out, looking at some past history, that the Packers really have not blitzed rookie quarterbacks all that much. At least while Dom Capers has been defensive coordinator, facing in 2009, Josh Freeman of the Buccaneers, Matthew Stafford of the Lions, and then earlier this year against Cam Newton and the Panthers, they really blitzed less than usual, and ended up putting more people in coverage instead. And so interesting how that, you know, really works out. Kind of those stats surprised me a little bit. And you know, I suppose the best thing to do is mix the two of them. You know, maybe you surprise a rookie quarterback with less blitzing than they perhaps expected. So, you know, they practice all week expecting the blitz, and then you don't. And maybe that's the thing to do. And then maybe the next time you face a rookie quarterback, they see that the Packers didn't blitz a whole lot. And then maybe they're expecting for that. And then the Packers do blitz a ton. So, the best thing is to keep opponents guessing, in my opinion. But it's, you know, obviously easier said than done. It's hard to tell what the Vikings are anticipating. Although in an interview with the media, Christian Ponder said he expects the Packers to blitz a lot, confuse a rookie quarterback. So, we will see. Oh, elsewhere in Packers headlines today, how about this? Rookie linebacker Vic Soto looks to be playing this weekend. That's the word from Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But as far as we know, we don't really know how much Vic Soto is going to play this weekend. All we know is that he is going to be active, or at least it appears to be. Frank Zombo is out. Jamari Lattimore is out. Fellow outside linebackers. So Vic Soto is in. And if you want to call into the show this morning, I threw the phone number up on the live blog or on the broadcast player. 646-797-2909. Please call in if you want to talk about Vic Soto, the Packers defense, Clay Matthews, Christian Ponder, A.J. Hawk flipping the bird, or any of a myriad other topics. Feel free to chime in with your opinion. And as I was saying here, a little bit on, later today, you'll be getting my opinion on the Packers playing Vic Soto in the Packers Minute that runs Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, not only on Cheesehead TV, but in 5 radio stations across the state of Wisconsin. I call for the Packers to play Vic Soto on defense this weekend against the Vikings. I think it's that time has come for him. He played so well in the preseason. If you remember back to that time, Vic Soto racking up 2.5 sacks, an interception and a touchdown, and I believe forced 2 fumbles as well. I mean, he just was an impact player in the preseason. I mean, no ifs, ands, or ands about it. It's he played well, and you know, was creating turnovers and sacks, and you know, more so than any player on the team. Now, albeit when Vic Soto was playing, it was typically against another team's backups. You know, he himself was a backup, and consequently, by the time he got into the game, it was generally against the other team's backups as well. But I think, you know, you're only going to find out how well he does against another team's starters until he actually gets that chance. I mean, I do believe there is a world of difference between practice and games. And I think, you know, games just tend to bring out the best in a player sometimes. So even though maybe, you know, the Packers haven't felt comfortable with him playing, you know, because of what they've seen from him in practice, maybe they're hesitant. You know, I think it's time to give him that chance, and no better time with the Packers, you know, without the services of 2 other outside linebackers this year. So, you know, the time has come, and I think, you know, the Packers, I just am so much of a believer that the outside linebacker position in 3-4 defense can be such an impact position on the game. You know, it's I've kind of thought for the past 2 years that the Packers should be addressing that position in something like the NFL draft with a higher draft choice, and maybe the Packers just haven't seen any players they've liked. But, I mean, here we go. I mean, right now we're starting Eric Walden, who's been an NFL journeyman. And, I mean, not that Eric Walden has played poorly, but, you know, it's he hasn't exactly, you know, lit things up either. You know, he did once there last year briefly. I mentioned this many times, his NFC Defensive Player of the Week showing against the Bears last year, 3 sacks in one game. The Packers would certainly love to see that again. Is it coming? I don't know. But anyway, so Vic Sooto, you know, certainly I don't know if he's going to play on defense this weekend. Looks to be active. Probably will at least play on special teams. And keep your eye out for that. Keep your eye out as well for, you know, as this has been mentioned many times, including on this show, Marshall Newhouse, first-year starter, only 3 starts to his name, or this will be his 3rd this weekend against the Vikings, taking on Jared Allen, one of the most feared pass rushers in the NFL, and the guy who leads the NFL in sacks this year, will kind of be a litmus test, if you will, for how far Marshall Newhouse has really come. So far, you know, it's been great news with Marshall Newhouse, you know, saying he's been playing well, but it's for me, it's almost been with that caveat, he's been playing well for a rookie, for a guy, you know, playing for the first time. I haven't yet been able to really say, you know, he's playing well, you know, good. And maybe I should. I mean, last week he didn't give up a sack, right? In his first ever start at left tackle. So, I mean, you know, here we will really find out how well he does against Jared Allen, a guy with 9.5 sacks on the season this year. And that really does stick out to me. 9.5 sacks, I mean, through 6 games. The Vikings haven't had a bye yet, have they? So they've played 6 games as well as the Packers, and so averaging more than a sack per game. That's almost 1.5 sacks. It is more than that, actually. So there you go. So Jamie Jorris points out in the live blog, Vikings bye is the same as ours, so looks like they have off next week as well. And so anyway, big game for Marshall Newhouse, you know, as well as Brian Bulaga, who's only in his 2nd game back, coming back from a knee injury suffered earlier this year. I think against the Chicago Bears game was the game Bulaga got injured. So, you know, a pair of 2nd-year offensive tackles for the Packers, and you know, this game is like, it almost by the day, it's becoming more important to me, or I hope the Packers feel that way as well. But I mean, I look at guys like Jared Allen, who leads the NFL in sacks. I look at guys like Adrian Peterson, the running back from Minnesota, you know, arguably and probably the best running back in the NFL. And then you look at how the Packers have played against rookie quarterbacks in the past. Guys like Cam Newton, who threw for over 400 yards this year. Guys like Josh Freeman back in 2009, who actually beat the Packers when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers weren't very good. And then you look at who the Packers are playing this weekend. Christian Ponder, who is a first-round draft choice. And I'm just, you know, thinking like, wow, how are the Vikings doing this poorly this season? 1 win. And you know, it's really, I mean, that they could be a lot better. They could be, you know, better than at least their 1-5 record indicates. They've had, what was it? They gave up 3 first half leads. They led in the first half of 3 games this year and were victim to comebacks by the opponent. And I mean, certainly that's that's on the Vikings. I mean, their defense wasn't up to the task of shutting down their opponent. So, I mean, you know, they do have their own faults. But, I mean, there is talent over on that other team that the Packers cannot take lightly. I mean, you remember back to 2009 when the Packers faced the Vikings in Minnesota. Brett Favre is there. And anyhow, Chad Clifton gets injured in that game against, you know, facing Jared Allen, I believe. And then, you know, TJ Lang comes in and really has a rough time. And it's hard to blame him. I believe that's TJ Lang's rookie year there. But, I mean, he struggles mightily. And Jared Allen has, you know, what did Jared Allen have that game? Like 3 sacks, 4 sacks? And the Packers, you know, really struggle with the Vikings. And so I mean there's they do something like that all of a sudden, you know, Jared Allen gets on a streak. I mean, not to say this is going to happen, but what if Marshall Newhouse really struggles with him? All of a sudden, you know, if the Packers offense sputters, you know, the Packers defense has been giving up a lot of yards. The Vikings make a game of it, and who knows what happens. Hopefully, that's not the case. I don't think anybody listening to this show wants that to be the case. But, you can't afford to take this team lightly. You can't afford, this is the NFL. You can't afford to take any team lightly. Right? I mean, hasn't everybody learned that lesson by now? It's, you know, it's just a different beast than college football, high school football, other levels of football. You know, the saying, any given Sunday, you've seen so many, you know, upsets. It's just, it ceases to surprise you. I mean, I sit here and wonder, how the heck did the New England Patriots lose this year to the Buffalo Bills? And albeit the Buffalo Bills are a much improved team this year, but wow, I think the Patriots are great. They are the class of the AFC, I think, and will end up representing them in the Super Bowl. But anyhow, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised that, you know, upsets happen. It's got to happen. Pack fan from Illinois comments on the live blog, got to stop AP Adrian Peterson. John Rahor comments, if the Vikings were smart, they'd hand the ball to Peterson 50 times Sunday. So, yeah, you know, the Packers have to take it seriously. And, you know, talent over there from Peterson to Allen to at least the potential of Christian Ponder. We will see how he does. Not this Sunday is, wow, going to be quite the day for quarterbacks in the NFL. A lot of attention will be on Christian Ponder. A lot of attention will be on Tim Tebow for Denver, making his first start of the year. Tebow time. There's been so much attention on him in Denver that it's hard to believe. And, of course, the attention of Packer Nation will be on Aaron Rodgers, who is having an MVP-type season. We'll see if he can keep up that pace on Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. Anyhow, thank you for listening to Railbird Central once again here on CheeseheadTV.com every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Make sure to check back all week long with our news on our blog. Come back on Sunday for our live blog during the game. I'll be on the post-game show as soon as the game's done, so come back for that. And for Jamie Jors and John Rahor, thank you everybody for listening to Railbird Central this morning. I'll leave you today with some music from Psy Fidelity Records. Let's see here. What shall we play today? Let's go with Ocean Billy from Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. Take care, everyone. See ya.